Lesson we're going to discuss tonight, the things we'll talk about may hit home for some who are here, who are present. And if this needs to hit home for you, then that's exactly what I hope will happen tonight. You know, every single day brings another choice to be confronted, another decision to be made, right? Some of our decisions have been made so many times before that really now they have just become habits. They are just second nature now, but they are decisions nonetheless. For example, what you eat for breakfast, right? You actually do make a decision there, but maybe it has become such a routine for you that you eat the same thing every day, and it's just more of a habit now, but it's still a decision, right? So when we're discussing day-to-day decision-making, we just want to make sure that that we notice some differences. Difference number one, some decisions that are very easy for you to make, and whatever it may be, okay, they may be very easy for you, but they might not be so easy for other people. And I think this is true in a number of different areas, but nowhere is that more evident than in some cases of individuals obeying the gospel. Now, there are those of us who have grown up from a very early age. We have been in the church of the Lord. We have been taught what we must do to be saved. And when the time came for us to do that, it was a very easy decision. But then you have those who grow up not knowing the truth, who have lived life as an adult in a church that is not the Lord's, or maybe even a whole nother world religion. And then when they learn the truth, and when the time comes for them to obey, that decision is extremely difficult for many, and I would say even among that group, it's more easier for some than others. Difference number two, some decisions are going to be just no-brainers for you, while other decisions are going to require some time and some serious thought. Number three, some decisions mean much, much more to you than some of your other decisions. Some will be very trivial, and some are going to mean a great deal. And then number four, some decisions of life are going to be not just hard, but extremely hard to make. And perhaps you've never really faced a decision like that in your life. We do have some younger folks here. Perhaps you have faced many, even if you are young, maybe you have faced many difficult decisions. However, I cannot believe that an individual of an accountable age has ever left this life never having to face a tough decision. And so there may be some here tonight who have had a decision to make, and it's been before them for quite a long time, and you've never moved on it. The inevitable hard decisions, whether you have one tonight that you can think of right now, and I'd be willing to guess that there are some here who may be thinking of a difficult decision. But whether you have one tonight or not, the inevitable hard decisions are going to come across our table, and we are going to need to confront them. So the question is, how can we do it? They're going to come, so how can we prepare ourselves? Now, we aren't going to discuss tonight how to make the right decision, but we're really talking about how to make the hard and difficult decisions that are also the right ones. How can I be sure? How can you be sure when that moment comes that I will be able to make the decision that I must make, no matter how hard it may be? Now, I am simply talking to you tonight as a very simple gospel preacher. I don't think of very much of myself. Don't take that the wrong way. I mean, I don't think I'm a nobody, but I certainly don't exalt myself in any way, shape, or form. But I'm a simple human being. I really am no different than you. I really am not. And I'm certainly not a motivational speaker, and I can't speak to you tonight as some self-help guru. And I'm not a psychologist, and I'm certainly not going to stand up here and say that I have all the answers to all the problems. The Bible does, though, have all answers to all of life's relevant questions, regardless of what some may tell us. Peter wrote, "As his divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness, 2 Peter 1 and verse 3. And I believe that with every fiber of my being. And I hope you do too. So we're going to use the Bible tonight to study this subject together, because you know what? Preachers have hard decisions to make. Elderships have hard decisions to make. Married couples have hard decisions to make. Parents, grandparents, widows, widowers, single people, young single people, old single people, they have hard decisions to make. Christians have hard decisions to make. Non-Christians have hard decisions to make. And that's a lot of different people there, but what do we all have in common? Guess what? We all have the same God, don't we? And He is a God that knows the things that we face better than we do, definitely. And you know, there are a lot of times I think where we already know what the right decision is. We know what the right, we know what choice we should make, and we know what we should do, but, oh, we struggle with just actually going through with it and making it. But hopefully we're going to leave here tonight more determined than ever, me included, to do what we know we need to do, whatever the cost may be. First thing we want to point out is that making tough decisions requires desire. In the book of Psalm, chapter 42, verses 1 and 2, this may sound very familiar to you. It's perhaps in a song you might sing here. Psalm 42, verses 1 and 2. And of course, I'm reading from the New King James. It says, "As the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God?" And I kind of thought it interesting that not just any water is mentioned here, but water brooks. These are flowing streams of water. They're moving. They're clean. We could say that they're living water. Now, the deer is going to take that kind of water if he can get it, right? And God provides all the living water our soul is ever going to need, but is that what we are truly thirsting for? Is God who we desire the most in life? If we are going to make the hard decisions, He must be. He's got to be. We must be able to say, like the psalmist said there, "When shall I come and appear before God?" You know what he's saying there? God, you show me where you want me to be, and I'm going to be there. You show me what you want me to do, God, and I am going to do it. In the book of Esther, we read about a woman named Esther. She had a very hard decision to make, didn't she? And I think it's really hard to find something negative to say about Esther, but if we could find any negative thing about her, maybe it would be that she hesitated upon making one very hard decision. And if you're not familiar with it, I can assure you the decision wasn't about whether to stay in and cook or go out to eat. There was a law that had been passed for the Jews, all of the Jews in the Persian kingdom, they were going to be killed. Well, guess who Esther was? She was a Jew. But guess what else she was? She was queen. She was queen. And if anybody was going to be able to help her people, it was going to be her. But we can kind of relate to and understand her hesitation to confront the king. The law was that if you approached the king without being called by him, you were to be put to death, period. That was it. And the Persians were well known for strictly following their laws. But after some encouragement from Mordecai, Esther made the decision. She says in Esther chapter 4 and verse 16, she says, "And so I will go to the king, which is against the law, and if I perish, I perish." She had just been told by Mordecai in verse 14, that it was very possible that God Himself had put her in that exact position to save her people. Now think about that and about any hard decision that may be on your mind right now that has yet to be made by you. But it was Esther's desire to do God's will. And it was her willingness to take on whatever it was that came next that helped her make that decision. She said, if I perish, I perish. What about Joshua? I think we all know, if we're familiar, any kind of Bible student knows what kind of man Joshua was, right? And perhaps this verse is on many people's walls in their living rooms. Joshua 24 and verse 15, but as for me and my house, how does it go? Yes, I know you know that. We will serve the Lord. I don't believe that was a hard decision for Joshua, not a man like Joshua. But you know, we're talking about desire here and choosing to follow God fully. And I want us to notice the rest of this conversation that he was having with the people in chapter 24 of Joshua. In verse 16, the Bible says, so the people answered and said, far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. All right, that's commendable. Verse 18, we also, the people said, will serve the Lord, for he is our God. Verse 19 and 20, Joshua says, and I'm paraphrasing here, he says, now you can't serve God and forsake him for idols because he's going to destroy you. Verse 21, again, the people say, we will serve the Lord. Verse 22, then the people confirm that oath, saying, we are witnesses. Now watch what Joshua says next in verse 23. Now therefore, he said, put away the foreign gods which are among you, and incline your heart to the Lord God of Israel. All right, so put yourself in the people's shoes there. Can you imagine what they are thinking by now? Well, Joshua, we just told you three times, and we even made an oath that this is what we are going to do. We're going to serve God. We're not going to forsake him. Why are you telling us this again? What was Joshua doing there? Why was he repeating himself? Have you ever explained something to someone so well? If you are a parent, I know what you're going to say. Have you ever explained something to someone so well that you could not have explained it any better? And that person agrees with you and they nod, indicating they fully understand what you said. And then they go right to doing the exact opposite of what you said. I see smiles. I know that's happened to some of you. Joshua knew the tendency of human beings to say one thing and do another. He knew the people of Israel would very easily say, yes, we will worship God, but at the same time, keep on worshiping those idols. Somehow they were going to make it work where they thought they could do both. Why did he repeat himself to the people? Because he wanted them to get it. He wanted them to fully understand what it was that they were committing themselves to. And so today, when you or I say to ourselves, I am going to serve Christ from this day on, we need to get it. We need to get what that really means. Because it is 100% God or it is not. God's will is either our number one desire or it is not. And please let me tell you, obeying the gospel and just showing up for services is not all there is to Christianity. It's not. And wherever we have placed God in our lives is going to determine whether or not we are going to be able to make those tough decisions. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 2, for I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Everything that Paul did, everything that Paul said, flowed down through Christ first. Jesus was the determining factor in every decision that he would make, whether it was an easy one or whether it was the difficult ones, right? You want to be able to make hard decisions? I think we have to be able to make hard decisions. But you want to get there? You determine where God really is in your mind and in your life. You put God where he needs to be, and you keep him there. I heard a preacher say one time, God should not be on our priority list. He should not be number one on our priority list. He is above our priority list. Then number one, two, three, four, etc. follows. Making hard decisions requires desire. Making hard decisions also requires knowledge. And I know you have heard many times before, we need to study. We need to read our Bibles. We need to grow. We need to mature. And that is absolutely true, right? And I don't want to beat that point to death tonight, but maybe we'll just smack it and kick it a few times, okay? You need to eat this book. You get that? You need to eat this book, the Bible. Sweeter than honey, right? Psalm 119 and verse 103. We need to breathe this. We need to make God's word our air, because you cannot live without it. We need to know God's word intimately. We need to treat the word of God as if it contains all of life's secrets, because it does. There are three things that the knowledge of God's word and his will help us with. And these are, of course, not the only three. The knowledge of God's word is going to help us to not be led away in error. 2 Peter 3 and verse 17. The knowledge of God's word is going to help us live in godliness, which is profitable for all things. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 8. The knowledge of God's word is going to help us see that above all things we must put on love. Colossians 3 and verse 14. Now watch and see how those three things are going to help us make hard decisions in life. All right, so we're going to know enough that we don't have to make the wrong choice. We'll know what the right choice is. We won't be led away in error. Number two, we'll know that we'll be able to make the decision. Right? What did Paul write to Timothy? Profitable for all things. That includes our decision making. And then we will be able to make our decisions, hard or easy, especially the tough ones, we'll be able to make those tough decisions based upon biblical love. And in many hard decisions, I do believe that kind of love is needed. Moses chose to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 25. Easy or hard decision? Put yourself in his shoes and think again. Easy or hard? I think Moses made a very hard but right decision. Why did he do that? Because he knew better. He knew better. He listened to God. He learned from God. He made the hard, but he made the right choices. Wasn't perfect, but his actions showed that he loved his God and he loved his brethren very much. Moving on, making hard decisions requires desire, knowledge, maybe the most important, I don't know, but trust. Got to have trust. Abraham was a godly man. He was faced with some very tough decisions in life. In Genesis chapter 16, Abraham's son Ishmael was born. Five chapters later in Genesis 21, Isaac was born. Through only one son, though, was the promise of God going to be fulfilled, and those two boys were not going to be able to be raised together. Abraham had to send Ishmael away along with his mother. Easy decision for him? The text really doesn't go in it, but do you think it was easy for him to send his son away? The text says that the whole situation, Genesis 21 and verse 11, was very grievous in Abraham's sight because of his son. But he did it. And what ended up happening to Ishmael? And we could go on into his history and what secular history says, but God took care of Ishmael. He did. Now Abraham has Isaac, the promised son, the only son left. And what does God ask of him? Well, just to offer Isaac as a burnt offering. He just said that for him to kill him, that's all. another easy decision? But what did Abraham tell Isaac? Isaac says, okay, Dad, where's the lamb? I see the wood and I see the fire, but where's the lamb? What are we going to offer? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide. Genesis 22:8. Can you just see that level of trust there? It's amazing. That is what real trust looks like. If you want to know what it looks like, there it is. God will provide. And let me say, and you know this as well as I do, that God has not put us in positions like Abraham was in. Yet sometimes our trust in God seems somewhat lacking. Why is that? We have hard decisions that have been on the table in front of us for a very long time, yet we have not moved on them. Where is our trust in God? Why have we said in our minds, God will provide? Or do we not believe that? Where's the trust in God? That phrase doesn't exist only on the coins, on your money in your pocket. Or does it? James would write in James chapter 1 and verse 6 through 8, let him ask in faith with no doubting. Are we praying about our hard decisions? We know they need to be made. Are we asking God for help with no doubting? I hope that we are, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. Let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. What about the what ifs? Do you like what ifs? What if my decision is going to hurt other people? What if some consequences come from this? What if I make this decision very hastily? What if my decision turns out to be wrong? Let me tell you something. I would rather have to deal with those questions than this one. What if I find myself standing before God having not made the decision at all? There was a certain man in a certain king's house who had heard that Jeremiah the prophet had been thrown into prison. And this man's conscience was telling him that this was not right, that this was wrong. Jeremiah was innocent, but for him to go and speak up against the king's orders, that could mean his death. So what was he going to do? Well, this man decided to speak to the king, and he ended up saving Jeremiah's life. And when Jerusalem was finally being destroyed, the Lord said this to that man, Jeremiah 39 and verse 18. The Lord said to him, "For I will surely deliver you, because you have put your trust in me." You get it? What if our decisions cause heartache for other people and even for us? What if we do face some consequences? What if we do receive some backlash from our decisions? What if my decision turns out not to be the best course after all? Well, I think we need to believe and we need to understand and we need to trust that God is going to be with us no matter what. And if we are striving, listen, this is important. If we are striving to think and to do everything that pleases God, God who knows that we are not perfect, why would God not be with us, even in our mistakes? And I'm not saying that when we make mistakes, He's going to just bless us anyway, but that He is going to see us through it. And of course, increasing our knowledge is going to help us avoid those mistakes. Help us avoid making bad decisions. But especially when you make those very difficult but right and godly decisions, please trust with all of your soul that God is going to see you through it. The ability to make hard decisions first comes from your initial choice to follow God. It comes from your desire to make your will His will, not the other way around. That desire there should naturally lead into your study and to you understanding the biblical principles we find in His Word because, well, if you have that kind of desire, you're going to be wanting to know everything there is about your God and your Savior. Matthew 5 and verse 6, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. You see, there's the desire, for they shall be filled. There's the knowledge, there's the growth, there's the understanding. And that knowledge, that filling, that will do nothing but build your trust in God, allowing you to carefully walk in Christ, not as fools, but as wise, Ephesians 5:15, further allowing you to make the right decisions, even the very, very, very difficult ones. And when all is said and done, the result from all of this will be true joy, true peace, and eternal life, heaven. How beautiful it's going to be, right? Because you will have been walking in Christ and walking according to the Spirit. And for those of you who do such, there is no condemnation. Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. I want to end this evening by stressing this point. If you have a hard decision that needs to be made, it must be made. You have to make it. We cannot put our decisions off. We can't skirt around them. We can't pretend they aren't there. We simply just don't have that kind of time. When you choose not to make those hard decisions, really that is a decision in and of itself, and it is a wrong decision which God is not pleased with. If it is a right, and if it is a godly decision, then it must be made no matter how hard it may be. And you need to trust that God will be with you. This evening, there may be someone here who has not obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. Maybe you have heard many times from those who love you very much what you need to do to be saved. And you can read it for yourself. And it's right there in black and red, I guess we could say. And that's a hard decision for you to obey that. But you need to move on it. You need to act on it. If you're here and you believe in Jesus Christ and you're ready to repent of your sins and confess Him before men and be immersed for the remission of your sins, you are going to make the best decision you have ever made in your life. And you'll never look back. If you're here as a member of the Lord's church, maybe you have some difficult decisions to make. And maybe you know they've been out there for a long time. Maybe tonight, maybe something has been said and now you're ready. You know what? I need to do it. Because I do have the desire. I have the knowledge and I want more knowledge. And I do want to trust in God with all of my strength. If there's any sin in your life that needs to be repented of, it's not an easy decision to walk down front and tell someone you've been wrong. We are not strangers here. This is family. And we all know that no one is perfect. This is why God didn't make individual churches everywhere. He made a one church together, the people together. We are a family. And even though I don't go here to attend here, you are my family. And I hope you view me that way as well. And of course, I wouldn't say any of this if I didn't love your soul. Perhaps tonight you just need some prayers. Maybe you do have some hard decisions that are coming up that need to be made and you just want your brothers and sisters to pray for you. Please let us know. Whatever you may need, the invitation is open for you to respond to it. Won't you come forward as we stand and as we sing?